Our study tonight, we're back in Timothy 1 again, 1 Timothy 1. In our study here on the date for the tape is 11/3/21. And in our study number is 115. And so we've been going a long time in this wisdom study, and but we've covered a lot of ground. I mean, a tremendous amount of ground in a little over 2 years. And to realize and understand the growth that, I don't know about you guys, but for me personally being doing this, it's been a great blessing to me to realize and understand the things that Paul has brought forth. And Jack has laid his understanding to it through his notes, too, and that we might glean from this a greater understanding of what we've been left with. And to realize that the Apostle Paul has written the first three books that we went through, and looking at now we're in Timothy again. Paul is looking to Timothy and writing these things because he knows he's not going to be here that long. His time is about up, and he's pretty much come to that conclusion, when, especially when you get into 2 Timothy. But nevertheless, he's given this information to young Timothy that he knows or feels sure that he's going to carry on his teachings after Paul is not here anymore, because Timothy is much younger than Paul is, and with that understanding. And so here we are, some 2,000 years later almost, so we're supposed to be doing what the Apostle Paul says to do, along with how he told Timothy to do it. And so this is what we're dealing with here, and we're dealing with these things that Paul wanted Timothy to know, but to realize that these scriptures are going to be here on and on and on. God's word is that, and it no man can stamp it out. Some may try, but that's not going to happen. And so we have this under understanding. And so here again, we're going to take a little portion of this up. And we're going to start in 1 Timothy 1:10, that we left off with 9 in our last study. But in verse 10, I'll just go ahead and read 9 again, but then we'll just go right on into 10. It said, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, and for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mother, for manslayers." And that's not the end of the list, by the way. Then this is our study tonight, verse 10. And I'll read it like I've been reading it. I read it from the King James. And then we'll go through my notes, and then we'll go through the Koine Greek and do Jack's notes. It says, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other things that is contrary to sound doctrine." So this is just a kind of a completion of that there, because verses 6 through 10 and Timothy 1 kind of go together. And so we made it through 9, but we didn't get to 10. It was a kind of a bad place to stop, but then sometimes we just need to stop when our time is up. So this is where we are. And I'm going to read my notes there. And it says, for whoremongers, or for them that defile themselves with mankind. In my notes, I put, they are abusers of themselves with others who join in. So these people that do these type things get others to join in with them. And then he goes on to say, for men stealers, and that's in the Strong's in the Greek, it's number 405. And that means to enslave and bring a man to his feet. Or to get him to obey his commands, basically, is what this is referring to. And it says, for liars, for perjured persons, and you can find a lot of those around, it's those who do not tell the truth. And it says, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And sound there is hugaino in the Greek, I think. And doctrine is, of course, teachings. And there's a good bit of scripture that goes with it, but let's look at what Jack has left with us. And going into the Koine Greek, here's the way it comes out in English. It said, fornicators, abusers of themselves with men, liars, perjurers, and if any other to the sound teaching, opposed. And then down into the more modern English, it says, fornicators, abusers of themselves with men, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and if any other to the sound teaching, opposed. And then we have the notes here, and I'll read you Jack's notes. It says, though public mores may change and various areas may accept aberrant behavior, God's word categorically rejects fornication. Whatever time may dictate, the word will never accept those who abuse themselves with others of like sex. Those who steal men, who have been in every age, will not receive the blessing of God. The liar is always opposed to his truth. And Satan was the father of liars. Those who will sell or barter their testimonies for some advantage cannot come under his approval. Any who oppose sound teachings of his precious word will not have approval of God. Nevertheless, by God's grace, they can become new creatures, creations. And then there's several verses of scriptures here that we need to look at. Let's see if I added that second Corinthians to it. No, I didn't add the second Corinthians to it. But it says 2 Corinthians 5:17 that tells us, or generally speaking, by God's grace, as bad as men are, they can become new creations. And we'll leave that at that. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6:9 and start there. That's on page 1704 if you have a companion Bible. And If you don't, I don't know where. Second, 1 Corinthians 6:9. I'm sorry. And we've had a lot of notes come out of 1 Corinthians recently because I've got a marker just about in between every page. 6:9. 1 Corinthians 6:9, page 1704 in the CB. It said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." That's full stop. So, remember what I just read. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Full stop. Don't be taken in. It says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or no effeminate, and no abusers of themselves with mankind. No thieves, no covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm going to read a little bit of verse 11. It says, and such were some of you. That's the reason Jack added that 2 Corinthians 5:17 there, because that was a correction to them people for the way they were doing their business. They were doing it through man's way and not God's way of doing things. And so this is what we're getting at here. And then you got, I put 2 Corinthians 5:17. So since we're in the neighborhood, we'll go to 2 Corinthians and we'll read what 5:17 says. It's been a week or two ago since I've done this. I try to get ahead of myself a little bit, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not good for me. But okay, let me get on the right page here. 5:17 says this. And that's on page 1735. It says, therefore, think what I just read to you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, or see to, that all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, that was 5:17 and 18. Okay, let's go back to Exodus. Jack says, Exodus 21:16. That's on page 102 if you have a companion Bible. So we're going back. A good long way to Exodus. On page 102. I'm in Exodus 35:21. I thought, I had it marked. My marker was just not too big. 21:16 says this. Talking about, and this is kind of going back to the last verse we had last week. It says, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So we see that there's a good bit of things going on there with dealing with your father and mother that early on had real terrible consequences. Okay, let's go from there to Zechariah 5, and that's just two books before the New Testament. And Zechariah 5, Three. 1285. Okay, I'm getting there. I've reached it. Okay, Zechariah 5:3 says this. Let's just start with 5:1. This is the sixth vision that was given to Zechariah. And it says this, "Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll, or a scroll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying scroll, the length is thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. And he said unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on the side according to it." So you see, when Zechariah was given these visions, it was to the external enemies, those that he had that were enemies. And so this is, well, let's just read verse 4, because the seventh vision starts with verse 5. He says, "I'll bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of the house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof." So this scroll that Zechariah was able to see is kind of like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can come and dwell. You may feel it but not see it. But its work is something that God knows about and that God is going to use in his dealings with these people that do these sort of things. And so that's rather fitting to what we've talked about here. Now, while we're here, let's go to Galatians. Galatians 5:17. And so 5, 16, 17, and 18 go together. Because if you have a companion Bible, you can see the space between those three, which links them together in the the way that Scripture is written down in the way it's laid out. This I say then, Galatians, going to start at 6:16. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And of course, it carries on with the next three or four verses as to what that details. If you want to read it sometime, it would be good maybe to go back and refresh your memory of it. Okay. We're going to look next at 2 Timothy. We're going to go beyond where we are in 1 Timothy. We're going to go to 2 Timothy. If I can get there. Okay, in 2 Timothy, four. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy 2 first. 2 Timothy 2:15 on page 1811. Let me go back one page. Well, we all know what 2 Timothy 2:15 is. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I even use this in my work sometime. Before I retired from work, we had a fellow from Nebraska that come down here to be over the production group. He didn't have anything to do with me, really, in my job. But every once in a while, I had a big old dumping thing that I could pick up with a forklift and take my scraps out and dump it in the scrap box. And very seldom did I get a print of anything. What I made up, I made it. Now, I wasn't paid, or it wasn't in my work deal to do that. But I did it anyway, and because I had done it all my life. And not bragging about it, but to make a point here with this verse of Scripture. And I liked the man. A lot of them didn't like him, but I thought quite a little bit of him. He come back there one day and was looking at my scrap box. And I looked at him and I asked his, called his name and I said, what are you looking for? And it kind of startled him because, you know, he wasn't used to people questioning his authority. I said, what are you looking for? And he said, Cecil, I want to ask you a question. He said, all these things that you come up with, he said, do they all work? Or does some of them work? And I said, well, what kind of question is that? And he said, well, I've been back here a lot looking at the scrap. I said, yeah, I've noticed you back here. That's the reason we're talking, having this conversation. And he says, does all your ideas work? And I said, no, sir. He said, well, I don't ever see any of them in the scrap box. And I said, no, and you won't either. Because I says, what I use to make my stuff with, I can use to destroy my stuff. And if it don't work, I don't need to run to you and say, well, I had a good idea, but it didn't work, because you're not paying me for ideas. And I quoted him this quote on 215. And I said, now that's the way I look at scripture too. He never came back there anymore to do that. Okay, that's just a little side story, but sometimes people get the ideas that you might be cheating him a little bit, and I wanted him to know I didn't cheat him. Have never cheated him, and would not ever cheat him. But see, when I had an idea that was worthy, they would pay me a different check, or give me a special check for that, because if it increased their production in any way, they made sure that I got something for it. And so I guess he was looking out for the company, but I was looking out for the company and for me and for what I believe in. Okay, enough said there. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4:2. Okay, let's go to 4:2 and see what it says. I'm going to read 4:1 and 2. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the living and the dead at his appearing and at his come kingdom. So dealing both with the appearing and God's kingdom, which is the Father's inheritance. The Son's inheritance is his body. That's us. If you've been called to see and understand this mystery truth, then you are in the body, and the Holy Spirit deals with you maybe in a different way. Verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So here, again, is a kind of a situation that the world is into today in a lot of understanding words there. Okay. I want to go to Titus. Let's look at the first chapter of Titus. And it says, okay, let me get on the right page here. Titus 1:1, and then Titus 1:9. Says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the faith of God's elect, and to the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Verse 9. Holding fast faithful words, as he had been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For they are many unruly and vain talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. And of course, Titus was written for that correctiveness in that, because, you know, dealing with the circumcision in this book, in this epistle, like the other six epistles, was not to go back or not to deal with anything concerning the circumcision to live within that understanding. Because that time and day had passed. This is a different dispensation. And so that's the reason those two things were put there that way. Okay, let's go back to 1 Timothy. And look at the next verse. First Timothy 11. We took all that time for one verse. Okay. And it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And we know this gospel certainly is the gospel of the glory. There's no doubt about that. Let me read my little note here. My note says that this part of the structure here deals with the blessed God. And that's what I wrote in my notes. This shows us the blessed God according to the gospel or the good news of the glory of the blessed God. Blessed there is the happy God, which was committed or entrusted to me. They're given in my trust. Okay. So it's a short verse, but there's nothing really short about it. In verse 11 it says, injects in the Koine Greek, down from the Koine Greek, according to the good message of the glory of blessed God, which I was entrusted with I. And in the English, according to good message of the glory of the blessed God, which I was entrusted with. So I, in brought down in from one was entrusted with I, and the other is of which I was entrusted with. So it kind of reversed itself there in the coming from the Greek to the English. So it says this, the verses going before set the table for this good message phrase. It's the good message of the glory of the blessed God. The wording here clearly indicates the word of the administration of the mystery taught in Ephesians 3:9. Paul was entrusted with this message. He enlisted others in this purpose. And we can get that from 2 Timothy 2:2. But so here's the scriptures that goes along with that. Titus, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and Thessalonians. So it kind of is the same layout situation here because what we're looking at here, the blessed God hasn't changed that much from one dispensation to the other, just a greater understanding maybe of that. And so in 11 here we got the good news. And again, it says also see Titus 1:3 and 2:13. So we need to go back to Titus 1 again. And and we'll do 1-3 and then 2-13. 1-3 says this. Talks about, well, I go back to 2. We read verse 1, but we skipped down to verse 9. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised when? Before the world began. Before the world ever was. God in His wisdom and His knowledge and understanding had met with His Son, and He says, Son, when we create this world that we're going to create, and we create a being to go in there, that being is going to fail. And it may require your self to change from a spirit. And we'll call this being human. And we'll call his name Adam. Will you go being human and shed your blood for this man's sins? And yeah, Father, I'll do it. This was before the world was ever created. The Son hadn't laid all this out with his understanding to do God's will and to make whatever God wanted made. He's the fabricator. The Son is the fabricator. And so the Son said, okay, I'll lay all this aside. I'll come and do it. Had the Son ever known a mother? We don't know. Had he ever partook of mother's milk? I'm sure he had not. Fairly sure. Had he ever heard his mother singing to him while he was in a womb? No, I don't think so. There's lots of stuff that the Son of God had never partaken of when he was spirit, because God had created him somehow to be like him in spirit, not in flesh, but in spirit. Now, when he got in flesh, then that was God's will that that would happen too, and he had already agreed to that. So here we go. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times or in present times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, Paul says, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. So Timothy wasn't Paul's only son in the faith. Titus was too. And so you see the will of God at work on and on and on and on. How much time we got left, Lori? Okay. So here we are, getting into this. Okay, that's Titus 1, 2, and 3. Then we want to go to 2:13. I'll have to turn the page to get there. And it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Why? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, amen, of the great God and our Savior Christ Jesus. So that doesn't say anything about the kingdom hope here. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Christ Jesus, who made these promises to the Father even before there was a place for a human to live on, as far as we know. He said, I'll come and do it. That was the faith that God was looking for in mankind, all of mankind. And you see, mankind had missed the mark to start off with. And so therefore, this sin payment was what caused Christ to die. Because the cause of sin, the cause of death is sin. And Christ didn't have any sin. Although he was born of Mary, a virgin lady, he had been implanted with the seed of God in the Virgin Mary, and God's glory that he laid aside was still available, that glory would take away his sinfulness that he could get from Mary by her being a fallen being in this earth. And see, so he did that. And he did it that we could have a blessed hope. And that blessed hope is the body of Christ. Because that's what the appearing ensures to mankind, is a blessed hope, that we can have that hope, not on the earth, not terrestrial, but celestial, because there's a great difference there. And what celestial might be, I have a little understanding of terrestrial because I walk on it every day. Been shoveling on it today a lot because I got a water leak. But celestial means, when you read in Ephesians about the breadth and the width and the height and the depth. What about the height? What do we call outer space? We don't know that much about it. We got these telescopes up there. We can look around and see stuff, but there's places it don't even go. That's not a problem with God. What's out there? We don't know. That's our problem. We can only trust in Christ. If he's going to be sent somewhere to do something, and he needs a body to go with his head, him being the head, and here we are. We can ride at the speed of light, just like he can. Because this is one of the things I think that we're going to have. People talk about back when we had the jets that first come out and they could break the sound barrier. Oh, man, that was fast. No, that ain't nothing. See, these cherubims that were placed at the Garden of Eden to take care of the Tree of Life, it was the speed of light, which is much, 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 much different. So here we are. Okay, let's get the rest of these done, and we'll probably make it through two verses tonight. I'm wound up here a little bit. Let's look back to Romans 2. Go back with me to Romans 2. Okay, Romans 2, what am I looking for? 2:16. I'm not on the right page. I need to go one more page. Okay. Now, it says this, and according to Jack in 2:16, we need to look at this. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And this is Paul's gospel, but it's backed up by one dispensation. And it says, behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God and knowest his will and approval and things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law. And art confident that thou thyself be a guide of the blind. And that's another thing we're supposed to do. Be a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness or in sin. To be in darkness and in sin is not a good thing. Okay. From Romans to 1 Corinthians again. And it seems like this is a kind of a way things are going here in 1 Timothy now. And that we're going to look at 9:17. 9:17 says this. Well, let's look at 16 and 17. It says, for though I preach the gospel, and this is Paul talking to the Corinthian people for correction. They are an uncorrect people. They are a generation of those that really look toward themselves rather than look toward God. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. A necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So Paul says, wait a minute now. If I've been fingered to preach the gospel and I don't do it, woe is me. Boy, you ever stopped and thought about that for a minute? I have. I'm going on 84 years old. And if I stop, woe is me. He'd be done with me, I think. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Oh, okay. I realize there's another gospel now coming on down the road. I don't know anything about it yet, but it's committed unto me. But now I'm learning all this. I'm getting it. I'm trying to get each of us to get it. That we may know and realize and understand that this is a plan of God and he has a purpose for it and he has laid it out. He's offered his son. His son has done the work and we can have faith in the son because our faith was just not enough to take care of our situation. But you see, we can strap our lifeline onto this big cable that goes across this chasm that we call death. And that cable, when we jump off and say, yes, God, I believe, it'll take us all the way to the other side. Whether we're living or whether we're dead, it doesn't matter. That faith of Christ is what God was looking for. And the Son did exactly what God asked him to agree to. But he asked God a time or two if it was possible to remove that, but he couldn't remove it. And so it was the faith of Christ. It's our faith. Our faith is nothing more than dirty rags. Our faith is not very much. Because we're sinners. Saved by this grace. Saved by this situation that we now find ourselves in, this glorious hope of the appearing of Christ. Woo! We might ought to say that a little more sometime. That's what we're after. That's what we're looking for. That's what my wife is waiting on. I haven't died yet. I'm waiting for it too. Same thing. So don't bother me too much when you talk about death, because whether it's living or death, it is as true as anything you can find in God's Word. And it's not preached in very many places, especially as many churches as we've got in this country. You just can't hardly go there and get it. It was like the old woman that went to England, walked in the big cathedral over there, and she just walked up there and looked around, and this usher come up. He said, "Madam, may I help you?" She said, "Yes, I want to take part in your service." And he said, "I will show you to a pew." He laid out his hand place for her to sit. She sat down, and they started up the music, and she was, I guess, a little bit of holiness in her. And the singing got to be pretty stout. She jumped up in the end of the pew and says, "Glory, glory, hallelujah. Amen, glory." Here come the old usher back up the aisle. And he stopped where she was, and he turned around and looked at her, and he says, "Madam, you cannot do that here." And she said, "I'll tell you one thing, mister. I've got religion." And he looked at her again, and he says, "Well, madam, you didn't get it here." So, take that for what it's worth. And that's the way it is a lot of times with God's Word. You can go to church and not get it here. Because that's they have a subject of salvation, and they usually stick to it. But they don't add on to whether you grow in your wisdom and truth and knowledge of the Word or not. It's, you got to be saved. You got to be saved. Well, if you're saved, if you do become saved, then what are they offering you? Well, what is it? What is it? You didn't get it here. My time up?
You got about 5 minutes.
You
got about 5 minutes.
Well, we can stop it there. But I didn't mean to get involved in these things, but sometimes I just I've heard these things and I can't ever forget them. I just can't do it. And if I cause somebody to think a little bit, whether it be in person this day, or where they listen to the tape and hear it later on, glory to God. He'll use it for His purpose. And that's the reason we go ahead and tape these things. And whether they be just a few of us or not, it doesn't matter. Because where the one or two are gathered together in Christ, He'll be there through the Spirit. He'll be there. And so that's the way we ought to look at it. And for those of us that understand the mystery truth, we're dead people already. We just haven't passed on yet. He's not done with us. Or if He'd be done with us, we probably wouldn't be here. So I think that's another thing that we might have kind of sneaked up on tonight a little bit. But It's great to be able to assemble ourselves together. And if I went away from the word a little bit, I'll apologize for that. But nevertheless, the expansion of mind has been given to man. Wisdom brings forth knowledge, and knowledge brings forth understanding. And so if you hear something that you think makes somebody need to stop and think a little bit, Paul was doing this back in his day, 2,000 years ago. Well, is God still at work? Yes, he is. And his love and grace is just as strong today as it ever been. We might be using it in a little different situation, because in each dispensation down through God's word, things moved around somewhat according to the will of God. Because in his plan and purpose, he knows. We may or may not know. And like I was talking a while ago about, what is the need and the purpose of Christ Jesus with a body fitted for the what we call the outer space or beyond? We don't know what's out there, but God does. And so we can't limit him by what we are limited to, because we're limited to time. God is not limited to time. But listen, when the appearing comes, then time will be no more. We'll not be limited by time, nor speed, nor space. And whatever the Father wants the Son to do, we will have a part of it. Because we're not angelic, but we're going to be put in a position to do the things like the angelic order did at one time, I think. And then were there some of them going to be with us in this body, because all of them didn't fall into sin. And so I think they will be part of that body too. Because in Thessalonians it talks about when he comes back, in Zechariah, when he comes back and the earthquake takes place, and there's going to be a great movement over there on the earth, I think God's Son is going to come back with his angels and with his saints. And he's going to set up the throne of David where? Very close to the Mount of Olives. And I think it's going to be where the crosses were that he shed his blood on, because God is going to redeem that blood that is spilt on the ground at that time. And the sun is going to set where his blood was spilt and rule the world and put all things under his feet. I give that a little bit of thought. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come again to the end of the study, Lord, we thank you again for what that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the great gift of life. We thank you for the ability to have been here these years. And we thank you, Lord, and we thank you so much for each and everything that you do for us every day. And may we not forget to thank you for it each day. We thank you for getting up in the morning. We thank you for what we have during the day. And Lord, we thank you for the rest that we get at night to start another day, if it be thy will. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for that that we don't deserve, for sure. But all the things that you do for us and did for us and are doing for us, Lord, are that's bringing us closer down to the time when you will allow your Son to move again out of the throne room with a body made up of those that at one time never understood that would be possible to happen. Lord, guide and bless us in a way that we see and understand light and truth, because light is in the Son of God. He is the light. He was the first light. And He is always light. And when He appears and we appear with Him, and we'll be in the light constantly, no darkness, no need of darkness, because He is light. Thank you for that love, and thank you for that understanding. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us and have done, even when we didn't know you was doing it. Continue to bless us that way. In love and in grace, we pray for these things. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.